If you have your Bibles, I want to open up to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment, and then we'll read two verses of Scripture. I want to talk about fathers this morning for a little bit, how to be a successful father. You know, I told my wife, I'm going to talk about how being a successful father. My wife says, tell them to love their wives. Okay, love your wives, let's go, amen. So we'll all get out of here early. A little bit more than that, but that's part of it, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, now that's Jesus talking to the disciples because they were concerned about a lot of things, all right, worrying about their needs being met and all these other things. And Jesus simply said, seek first the kingdom of God. Then Jesus told them something else over in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse, I think it's Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36. One of the Pharisees heard that he had, verse 34, had silenced the Sadducees. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked a question, testing him and saying, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Then he went on and he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. So today I want to talk about fathers. Fathering is crucial. I always said this. I said, anybody could be a father, but it takes a real man to be a dad. Anyone could be a father. Because there's a lot of fathers out, that a lot of men that fathered children that have never seen them. But it takes a real man to be a dad. And one thing we have to understand that raising three kids, fathering is not an automatic. It's not automatic. All right? One thing we have to understand, there's no perfect father. How many wives could, all right, the kids are in the other room, but how many wives could say there's no perfect father? So the first thing we need to understand as a father is realize you're not perfect. None of us are perfect, all right? But God is, and that's the important part. And he's the one who we have to look to. Fathers can produce healthy families. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today, and even though you've experienced failures in your life, maybe your family's dysfunctional or was dysfunctional, these things are common. They're just common. The first dysfunctional family on the planet was Adam and Eve. They had two kids, and one of them wiped out a quarter of the population. So talk about dysfunctional, all right? And it was all because of sin. But the problems we have are preventable, and if you're in the middle of a problem, they're reversible, if you're a father. And being successful as a father has nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with obedience and submission to your heavenly Father, all right? And anyone who's willing to follow God's pattern for fathering will have a great success in his family, in his children, all right? Regardless of how bad you messed up, I'm telling you, how deeply you've been hurt, how deeply people have hurt you, whether you're married, whether you're a single father. You know, we often talk about single moms. There's a lot of single fathers out of there for one reason or the other. They have custody of the children and so forth. God is on your side. God wants to heal. God wants to transform. And God wants to guide all paths of our lives if we'll let him. So the secret of successful fathers is a correct priority structure. Priorities are so, so important. And we saw it here in Matthew chapter 6. First, seek the kingdom of God. That's the first thing you have to do. See, what we do is we worry about our job, our money, our kids, our clothes, college, and everything else. And what we do that, here's the five priorities, and I'm not going to go through all of them. These are five priorities that are absolutely essential in your life, and if they are not in order, your life will be in shambles. Amen. I promise. Okay? And here they are. First one is God. That's your first number one priority. Your second priority is God, is your spouse. This goes for men and women, is your spouse. After your spouse is your family, your children, your immediate family. All right? And then church. And people always say, why do you put church next? Because it's important that a godly father is involved in the local church. That is number one, absolutely important. And then work. But you have to have a job, okay? But I'm talking about involvement in church. You don't put coming to church above your work, but you put church involvement above your work. If you understand what I'm saying. Volunteering, getting involved, being part of it. All right. And then everything else comes. And I don't care what order you put the rest of the stuff in. Golf, sports, hobbies, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, you could do that. And so it brings this out in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. And again, Jesus is rebuking the disciples. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Anyway, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things. And again, he's rebuking the disciples for worrying about food and clothes and everything that we worry about. All right? And then over, he says the next important one is love. The love of God. And then your neighbor. In this case, would be the love of your spouse and your family and your children. And the Bible is crystal clear on these priorities. They are not negotiable. Hello? The biblical priorities are non-negotiable. That's if your life is in shambles, sit down and think of your priorities, because I will guarantee you that they're out of order. People say that's too simplistic. Nobody said the Bible was hard. We make it hard, but it's not hard, you know? And we're commanded to put God first, people second, all right? And Jesus finalizes that whole thing by promising faithful and complete blessings to the person who gives God priority above all and over everything in their life. He promises us. That's what Matthew 6 is about. He promises that when we put him first, he promises to meet all your needs. Amen. To give you blessings. If you put him first. And that is non-negotiable. Thank you for that. Amen. And so when we establish, it's an important thing. It's not to be taken lightly. It's the difference of being blessed or battered. Being intimate with God or enemies with God. It's up to you. You could or being a success or a statistic with these things. And fathers that are successful have a correct priority structure on purpose. You know, it's easy to get caught up because there's so many things pulling at our lives. There's just so much stuff out there. With bills, everything. And having a priorities in your life, it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by choice, and they have to they arrange their life and their everyday decisions based on the priorities that they have. I know my wife, she's going, we're going to have company or people over the house, like Eddie and Melissa's coming over today, and her mother and Ray, and they're coming over. And my wife, she sits down and prioritizes everything she needs to do. It just makes sense. You know, I'm up on the beach a lot, working, and my nephew, I have always said this, with all this modern technologies, my brother's built a multi-million dollar business with a legal pad. They didn't have day timers, they didn't have iPads and everything else. My brother would simply write down on a paper, pick a line. You go on his desk today, and he's 82 years old. He's retired, but you go on his desk, and he still has his legal pad with a line down the middle and a T across the top. This is everything that has to be done. This is what I'm doing today. And his son is exactly the same way. He says, I don't do good without a list. And it's right. Priorities. All right. You understand what I'm saying? So we need it in every area of our life. But our life priorities, they're just daily goals. But our life priorities should always be God first, spouse second, and then family. The road to ruin is paved with good intentions. I hear people say, you know, I'm going to get it together next week. You know, until your intentions unite with willingness, it's difficult to make daily choices. You can go to bed at night and say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and get up and forget about it. You know, I do a lot of stuff on my laptop, and, you know, I have window sticky notes, and I got all these sticky notes on my, I have, I don't know how many different deals I have. And guess what I always revert back to? A pad. And I just put today's date down and everything I have. I got all this stuff on my, you know, I got like virtual windows, you know. I press it, I go, oh, wow, look at all the stuff I have to do. And then I forget it. So I have to write it down on a piece of paper. And I have these little books that I bought like at Barnes and Noble's, and I didn't bring one, but it's home, but I just shut, it's with me all the time. And I write, don't matter where I'm at, if I'm listening to somebody, I'll take notes in it, but I'll have my daily little deal on there, what I got to do today. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And so it's the same thing. And priorities demonstrate our value system as well as our the value system that we pass on to our children. And I'm talking about fathers, but this relates to everyone. You know, if you give priority to God, guess what? You value God. Amen. If you give priority to something over God, then you value that particular thing above God. You know, and it's the same thing with our family and our children. If we put other things over our children, we value that particular thing we're putting over our children higher than our children or our spouse. And the real meaning of hypocrisy is speaking something but unwilling to live it. All right? Many people are simply hypocritical about their priorities. Matthew 23, verses 13 through 19. Jesus, I'm not going to read it, but in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is calling the Pharisees a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite is a Greek word, hypocrite. And it means it's an actor under an assumed character, an actor. We went and seen Carole King, and the girl who played Carole King was an actor under an assumed character. She wasn't Carole King, but she played Carole King. She was a pretender. And the girl wasn't this, what I'm going to say next, but this is a hypocrite. It's a fake, phony, and a fraud. Okay, now the girl who played Carole King wasn't a fake, phony, and a fraud. She was very good, as a matter of fact. But a father may say they love their children, but they choose work, they choose sports, they choose hobbies, crafts, everything else above their children. Thank you. Parents say they love their children, but allow them to be crowded out by all their daily schedules that they have. See, the thing you have to learn is, you have to learn to work your kids into your schedules. I remember when growing, my kids were little, you know, we got saved when we were in our 20s. They were little. Huh? Late 20s. Shh. 20s. Could be anywhere from 21 to 30, but, you know. But they were small. They were like 8, 9, 10, 7. But they were like, we went to prayer meetings on Friday night. They came with us. They had baseball games. We went to their baseball games. But Friday night was prayer meeting. We went to, and then somebody at the prayer meeting would take all the kids to their house, and they'd go swimming and stuff like that. But they were always involved in what we were doing. And then we were involved in what they were doing. And the way we did, there were certain things that if it was something was on a Sunday, church was a priority. So there were certain sports they didn't play on a Sunday because it interfered with church. It doesn't mean they couldn't play those sports. They just couldn't play them on a Sunday. They could play them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not a problem. And we were there with them. I don't know how many soccer games we went to. Try to put chills in sometime. Amen. You know, that's somebody who really didn't go to the school they went to, but they were really good soccer players. Praise God. We weren't as redeemed as we are now. We just got saved. But when we say, you know, if we say we love God and we're not willing to sacrifice in order to give worship and serve Him, that's hypocrisy. Coming up with excuses why I can't do it. You know, well, I got this. I don't like that. It's too hot. It's too cold. She's got a big mouth. He's a big joker. No. God is impressed on what we say we believe. Like I said it before, I'll say it again. I say it every Sunday. Talk is cheap. God is impressed on what you practice, not what you say you believe. Anybody could say that. You hear people all the time say, you saved, yeah. You love God, yeah. You never see him in any. You go to a nightclub, you'll see him there, but you don't see him in church. Then you got a question like, not if they're saved, what are their priorities? Having a good time? Nothing wrong if they want to go to a nightclub, but don't stay out so late you can't come to church the next day. Or now you can come on Saturday. And then go to a nightclub. See how that feels. Yeah. You'll either leave or start preaching. One or the other. And so when we replace something, we replaced him with something. Not that we renounced God. I'm not talking about backsliding. I'm just saying we prioritized God to a lesser level. And when we do that, we prioritize our spouse to a lower level and our family to a lower level. Because things just creep in. You know, people say, oh, Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. I say this, and I don't mean this haughtily. You walk a mile in my shoes. I'll trade places with you any day of the week. We're all busy. There's nobody that's not busy. That's a lame excuse. I'm busy. No, you're not. You're busy. You're not busy for what you want to do. And again, we're talking about priorities. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you a priority structure. We make time for what we want to do. Amen. So let's not keep God in a... And I'll tell you what, anything we put above God becomes an idol. You know, your children can become an idol. They can become above God. Oh, but I love God. I know you do. But let me tell you something. If God is not number one and everything about your kids is number one and what you got to do with your kids and all the worship gets put aside because of your children, and you've made them an idol, and you've put God down in a lower position. And let me explain something to you. It's a tight line to walk because our children need us, but they have to see that we respect God as number one in our life. God said he trusted Abraham because he knew that he would teach his children the priority of putting God first. Amen. And when they see you put God, you know, they're not going to like, they're going to argue with you. Well, Dad, everybody else is doing it. You know, my question is, who's everybody else? Well, Bobby and Johnny and Sue. Well, that ain't everybody, friend. You know? But so they're not going to like it. You think they're just going to go, oh, geez, thank you, Father. You're teaching me all about how to be respect God. They're going to be mad at you. You're going to have to take their cell phone away, punish them, you know, paddle them. You can't say that today because typhus would be all over you, but I believe in a good spanking. Amen. Didn't hurt them. Didn't hurt me either, brother, and let me tell you something. My mother was the spankee of spankers. I used to come in like this. Actually, I had an aunt. My aunt. I'm not going to say her name, but if any of my cousins are watching, they're going to know who I'm talking about. You just didn't know when. You went in her house, you were good. Because you just didn't know when it was going to happen. So your best bet is just to like, okay, thank you. Kept everybody on his, all the kids, all her kids, and all her nieces and nephews. You just never knew. They're going, we're going over, Aunt. Okay, we got to be on our good behavior when we go there because you just never know. And all her kids turned out to be professional people and stuff, you know. Amen. And we got this liberal. Anyway, God always loves us, okay? But he can't base a life in which he's been devalued. John the Baptist says it this way in John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase and I have to decrease. All right? And so when priorities are wrong, there's not only a breakdown in relationships between God and you, but the same is true with our relationships with our spouse, our children, our church, and everything else that goes with it. Okay? And God's first commandment in marriage was, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That says when a person gets married, they need to leave. Now, that doesn't mean they forsake or neglect their parents. God is starting a new branch on the tree. Okay? It simply means that your marriage, your family, has priority over your mother and father. Eddie's priority is God, his wife, his family, and church. And then we come into picture. We come under that family tree, but there's a priority structure. And there's nothing. I'm okay with that. And most people are all right with that. But we need to, some, you know what I'm saying? That's a priority. And that creates an atmosphere with divine energy and affection in a family. When we don't understand that, jealousy and hurt feelings occur. You know, a spouse knows they should have priority above everything except God. You know, my wife knows that. My kids know that. And children have a certain amount of challenges in their life when they're growing up. Especially in this day and age, you know. But children who feel unloved and rejected by their parents have greater problems than those that don't. And being a father requires, it's a full-time job, requires a great deal of time and energy. And except for God and our spouse, nothing should be of greater value than our children. No matter, I don't care what you have to sacrifice. Amen? Another truth concerning priorities, right priorities promote health and growth of the most important things in our lives. People can insist they love God, their spouse, and their children above all else. But what happens is that they become attracted to work, hobbies, and sports. And so now they're just saying, God is number one, but the sport I'm going to today trumps God, or my wife, or something else, or my spouse. And we become emotionally separated from our spouse, and you become emotionally separated from God because you put everything else above them. And again, it's a priority situation that's gotten messed up, all right, in life's endeavors. Priorities, here's how you can tell your priorities. They're obvious by how you spend your time. Hello. Your energy. And here's the biggie, your money. So just sit down and say, man, what am I doing with a lot of my time? Am I playing golf every day? Or if I'm working 15 hours a day and I'm not home for dinner or whatever, what's my time consumed with? And if it's not like with God and your spouse, then you know what? You need to reevaluate. What's going on? We're talking about being successful. It doesn't come automatically. And I'll tell you what, people who have God first place in their life, it's obvious in their relationships with their family. Amen? All right? There's a verse of scripture over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, and there your heart will be also. I like that. Because the Greek word for treasure is the word where we get thesaurus from. You ever seen what Jesus says? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you know your heart is your thesaurus? All right? And it means a treasure. Simply a treasure. The word heart is the Greek word where we get cardia from. Okay, which means our inner person. And in our heart is our spirit and our soul. Our emotions in our soul includes our mind. So they're all within our heart, all these things. And he says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Bible says in Proverbs, out of the... What's it saying, Proverbs chapter? No. Oh, God, I just had it. Guard your heart. Yeah, I know I could quote the verse, but I just can't quote the 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You see, it becomes a heart matter. All right? There's a powerful significance here if you get it. Our heart will be wherever or whatever we establish as our treasure. Time, energy, money, God, or God, spouse, or family. It's so hard. Some people don't sleep at night because they worry about money. God, Jesus said, don't worry about it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you'll get it. Amen. People don't have peace in their life because of money. Think about that for a while. If that's you, then guess what's your priority? Money. You can't separate your treasure from your heart. If your job is your treasure, then that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your feelings and your focus will be. If it's in school, that's where. If it's in sports, anything else, that's where it's going to be. Now, here's the good thing. You can change your feelings and your focus to be where they have to be. You could do it. And once you determine that it's not God or family, then you have to make a decision and determine in your heart, I'm going to change. No matter what you have to give up, you're going to... It doesn't matter. What you have to give up will far out... The rewards are going to far outweigh the cost. There's a verse of scripture, as soon as I find it, the blessings of God, would, you know, used to quote it all the time. Adds no sorrow to the... Right, okay, we'll find it. Don't worry about it. You know, we live in a culture that American culture is an interesting culture. It wants everything. You ever notice that? Now, I know there's people that are here from Haiti, from Nigeria, and different places. I've been to third world countries. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole different mindset in a lot of those countries. It's not a, I want everything. It's like, I need to believe God to get through today. And, you know, and the sad truth is while we gained everything material and external, we have lost everything meaningful in the process. We've lost meaningful relationships over material things. And I'm not saying, I'm not against material things. Are you kidding? I got a beautiful house, a beautiful swimming pool, you name it, I got it. I love it. Got a beautiful house in Florida. Not against material things. Amen. But material things cannot have me. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. You know, most people got to get a new car every 2 years. My car is 17 years old. It runs. And it's paid for. Amen. You know, I used to get like, oh, God, I can't pull up with this car. I don't care. It's a car. You know what? You pull into a parking lot, some dingbat's going to hit it. They're going to open their door and ding your brand new Mercedes or your brand new Lexus. I remember I had a brand new Mercedes Benz, brand new black S. Pulled into the mall, come out, somebody dinged it. I wanted to take the car back and trade it in. Talk about priorities being messed up. You know, I used to say, you know, people know the story about Florida. The car I used to have in Florida was a 1995 Buick Park Avenue. 65,000 miles on it. I would pull up to some of the most exquisite restaurants with that car, and they'd look at me. Matter of fact, there's one restaurant, real high-end restaurant. We were meeting my brother for dinner. I pull up in this car. It was in mint condition, though. I look at the... Oh, they drive Lexuses and all kinds of... Oh, gosh, there were Maseratis, Bentleys all lined up. So I pull out the car. The guy looks at me, looks at the car. I said, watch the paint job. Is that not... I do that all the time. I parked it one time. We went to the mall in Florida. I parked it where all the exquisite cars park, all the Bentleys, Maseratis, Lexus, and there was an empty spot between a Maserati and a Bentley. So I pulled it in there, and I took a picture. I says, it's in good company. True story, man. I'm not going to lie. No, you know, but it... We'll bring this to an end, okay? Hallelujah. God is good, though, isn't he?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Our priorities need to be in order. Our priorities need to be in order. And when they do, life is so much easier. So much easier. So much easier. Praise the Lord. Church is very important. This was like a 3-day teaching that I did at a seminar. But so let me get to the, okay, we'll get to the end of it there. But I always look at that priority stuff. It's, as a matter of fact, every time we do a marriage seminar, the first thing I teach is 5 priorities. I take a lot of time, like 2 or 3 sessions on talking about priorities because they are so key to our life. We will come out of here, we're going to be worried about every other thing. First thing in the morning, the first thing that you should do is worship God. First thing my wife does in the morning is worship God and makes me a cup of coffee. That's my priority right there. And then she makes Joey one. Once in a while, I notice she puts Joey's first. I'd say priority's out of order. That's because he leaves before me. Amen. All right. Men, let's stand up, and I want to make a confession, okay? I want us to make it together. I want you to follow this after me. Just the men. This is Father's Day. What are you trying to get your wife in on this too? Kick them. Anyway, say this after me. I thank you, Lord, that the anointed one and his anointing live in me. Because of that anointing, I will be a father. I will be the father I'm created to be. My heart is turned toward my children. And I will train them to keep your ways and receive their inheritance in covenant with you. I thank you that you have chosen me to represent your heart of love to my family. I do not set aside my covenant with you or with them. I thank you that by the Holy Spirit, I am raised up as a mighty man of valor before my wife and my family. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Have a great day.